Gandalf, I am here to talk about The Hobbit.
I'm sorry the discussion for the top podcast book club is happening on their Discord. If you want to have your opinion of The Hobbit, you have to go there.
Well, I'm here now, so could we just talk about it?
I'm sure you thought that was terribly clever, but no. We are about to start the pod. You can find the link to the Discord in the description.
Come on, Tharkoon. Just let me in.
You shall not pass!
We look forward to talking with you in the Discord.
Welcome to this week's episode of the Top Podcast. As always, I'm one of your hosts, Rob. Enjoy with me are my friends, Mike.
I was about to drink coffee, but I won't now.
And Lou.
I like coffee.
As we found out last week, I do not like coffee. Go check it out, that whole discussion. But each week we start off the episode with an icebreaker. This week I want to know what song, it can be from movie, TV show, video games, whatever, but what song does not deserve to go as hard as it does. So my example comes from this small-time indie film that ended up blowing up, but the theme song for this film series is just such a banger, and it has no right to be what it started off with, and that is Saw. The Saw theme is an absolute banger.
Dude, the Saw theme is so good. That almost makes me want to change mine, but I promised it last week, so I can't. But ooh, yes, yeah. It is so good.
So good. There's a Bone Saw and Lil Jon did a cover, like a remix of it for a song. The lyrics questionable, but the beat is fire, and you wouldn't expect it from, like I said, an indie film, an indie horror film, which usually are not, you know, not well received. But that song just ooh every time.
Was that the best horror theme since Halloween? Because that was a similar thing where that was like a low budget, nothing indie movie. When it came out, and like obviously, you know, Halloween and Jamie Lee Curtis and John Carpenter are like names now, but they only kind of were then. Mm-hmm. And that one just slaps too.
I'm probably not the best person to ask for that. Lou, do you got any horror themes that are bangers?
Oh, honestly, I'm trying desperately to come up with an answer, so I'm not hearing any of your answers. So I'm sorry.
Well, it was a Saw theme in case you missed it.
Nice. Nice.
I guess I'll go second then to buy Lou some time.
All right, what do you got for us, Mike?
Sail!
Oh my god.
Hail Nation?
Sail!
You're such an old man.
That song goes so hard. I had a weird point of pride when I was in high school that I never went to a school dance. I was like, yeah, these are stupid, and I never went to one. And people are like, why, they're fun. And I was like, I just told you, they're stupid. And then I made it out of high school, and I was like, I did it. And then I dated a girl slightly younger than me, which meant she was in high school, and I got dragged to a high school dance. And I was like, no, I came so close. And that song came on, and I just like transcended my being, went into another plane of existence, and just got down. And that was fun. That was the only time I've ever truly let loose and danced outside of the use of mind-altering substances, and I miss that moment sometimes.
The mind-altering substances or the dancing? The dancing. Okay.
Both, but in this case, the dancing.
Just, you left a little open-ended there, you know. Yeah, that song is Vine. I could say ruined it, but enhanced that song for me. That's all I think of whenever I hear that. Person slamming their foot on the keyboard.
That's funny.
Bo Burnham has a good Nation had song like that what? Hard.
Two or three songs total that were any good. So apologies to any fans of AWOL Nation, but like,
is there Apologize? Is that an AWOL Nation song?
No, Apologize is One Republic. That's a good song, though. Dude, I'll tell you what, that first One Republic album is actually, it's really good. Mercy is a track I've never heard anyone discuss by One Republic that I, to this day, really enjoy. And I don't remember what the... There's a church song. I don't remember what it is. But there's this, like, point towards the end of the song where they're like, oh. And the whole time I was just like, they stole this from something. I can't remember what. And then later that night, I literally sat up, like, vampire style in bed and texted the guitar player who had played that day. And I was like, it's Mercy. It's One Republic. It's this timestamp. And then I got a text back the next morning. He was like, holy crap, that's, like, note for note. And I was like, yeah, it just totally ripped off. So... A church song ripped off One Republic, in case you were, looking for a headline.
You have abs like that to be able to do that?
Nah, I'm getting close. At the time, no. It was just that much of a, like, I remembered!
That's cool.
It's like there's this one worship song that the beginning cadence is very much just like 7 years. I'm like, what the heck? I start saying, like, what? I didn't, once I was 7 years old, just, what is going on?
Oh, here? That one, yeah. One of my favorites is this isn't a worship song that ripped it off. This was just brilliant arrangement by somebody at my old church. There was the it was I don't know the name of the worship song, but the chorus was like, "You're all I want."
Yeah, I know the song.
Yeah, help me know you are near. And for like multiple years, they'd have this really cool interlude, and there was this build and this cool guitar part, and they'd be like, I need you so much closer. And they'd build and build and build, and then you jump into the hell me know you are here. Yeah, that's Death Cab for Cutie. They just like, they were like, hey, this fits, and they just plugged it into the song and didn't tell anybody. And we were all just like, yeah, that's the song. And then one day I was listening to Transatlanticism, and I was like, what?
It's just like John Mark McMillan ripping off Stand By Me.
Well, yeah, but I don't think he ever pretended works. He wasn't doing that one.
No, that one works.
That all was right. Ripping off a well-known song as opposed to...
Death Cab.
Bit of an indie track.
All right, Lou, have we stalled enough? Do you got one for us?
Oh, yes, I did. When you sent me this question, I thought that I could just... Not just a music, I could do any type of scene or movie scene or... any type of scene where it's like harder than it needs to be, but I did come up with a song.
All right, here's with the song first. I'm interested to hear the music scene.
Okay, so I hit you with a song. It's just so funny that I recently just said I don't like musicals, but but there is a song called "My Favorite Things" by a musical, The Sound of Music, that I will unironically listen to quite a bit. I think it is just a beautiful song. And I generally think it's a beautiful song, and it is rap like to me. It's just I don't want to say this because it makes me feel like a millennial, but it's very like she just has bars, I guess, just
wait, is that outdated now?
The Queen of Zenobia has bars.
I think it, yeah. I can't think of any other one other than that.
No, it does have a nice, like, melodic rhythm to it.
Yeah, and it's just fun to listen to. And you know what? I like Raindrops and Roses. I like Whiskers on Kittens, Bright color.
Becca, I'm sorry that song just got stuck in your head all day.
Okay, here's another one that goes way too hard now that you've inspired me with that, like, that one. Three Blind Mice.
Like, okay, yeah.
Because it's like the do-do-do.
Yeah.
Do, do, do. And you're like, okay, sure. Do, 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 do. And you're like, yeah, all right. Do, 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 do. And then it just goes nuts. And it's like, do, 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 do.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, the tail end of Three Blind Mice slaps. Super good.
Also a very millennial thing to say nowadays. Slaps.
Oh, slaps? Oh. See, I literally just came around to slaps.
I feel like that was like elder Gen Z. Young millennial. It's
I'm like right on the cusp, so it makes sense that
was like
that'd be there.
When I was got my delayed college, people were saying slaps.
Mm. Well, you were also in a certain demographic, but I respect it.
What's your movie scene that goes harder or TV show scene that goes harder?
It's actually a cartoon. It's the Avatar. And it's the Avatar team versus the Earth Kingdom. So I deleted TikTok, and so sometimes when I want that itch, I'll go to YouTube Shorts. And one of my favorite things to do is watch like anime fight scenes with rap music on them. And it's just like one of the, just gets me completely hyped. I absolutely love it. And then this like battle scene came up and it was just like on rap music and it just went so hard. Toph is literally murking. They're like four grown children, like maybe 14. I can't remember their ages, is literally destroying a whole, the whole Earth Kingdom. What?
One's on like 12. So
yeah. Yeah, but he was frozen for 100 of those years. So yeah, it doesn't count. Cryo.
Doesn't count. Well, whatever. Okay.
And the Avatar. Okay. I mean, you know, just saying.
Yeah. Well, literally, seriously.
It was like the strongest waterbender who just picks up bloodbending. I mean, come on.
Because I wonder why our episodes are still an hour long, even though we switched down to 3
Because now we have more times to tangent.
All right, I'll be really quick on this episode.
All right.
No, it's not your fault at all. We are just as guilty, if not more, than you are.
It's been 10 minutes. All right, yes. So they're fighting.
Toph is literally breaking people's legs. Katara is freezing people, like throwing people in the water and freezing them where they can't breathe. It's like a massacre. Aang is literally destroying boulders, breaking people's backs. It's just they're massacring anyone. A whole army. And then I go to YouTube and actually watch the scene. And the tone is completely different. Like, Katara is apologizing every time she whiplashes somebody. There's like this nice, bright music that doesn't seem like they're destroying and murdering and crippling a bunch of grown men because it's a kid's show. And yeah, it's hilarious. It's a good time.
One of my favorite supercuts, and this is the last I'll say about Avatar for me, is when they take like Aang being like, oh, I'm not killing anyone. I don't want to hurt anyone. Then it's just scene after scene of him leading up to something that would have caused death.
Toph is like taking down the whole stairs, like a huge stairway, and breaking people's legs. It's, yeah.
Toph has no remorse.
Toph, yeah, she's blind. She can't see them.
She's got tremor sense.
She's got tremor sense. That's true.
All right. So this week, we want to talk about the greatest movie sequels of all time. And I discounted Aliens and Blade Runner 2049 because I feel like we've talked about that a lot on the podcast, especially it feels like recently, but kind of just in general over the life of the pod. And kind of to narrow it down, it has to be the second movie in a series. So everyone knows Return of the King is the best Lord of the Rings. Doesn't count for this list because it has to be the second one in the series. So starting off, I think, while not my favorite movie, is definitely one of the most well-regarded sequels, and also by James Cameron, who did Aliens, and that is 1991, Terminator 2, Judgment Day.
Guys.
You got an objection?
No, I left my laptop at church. I'm running through the PlayStation 5. I can't press the button.
Oh, no. I got you. You want an objection?
Yes, please.
Objection. Do you have a higher?
Nobody saw that coming. Way higher.
Way higher. Well, there's only three of them, so, you know, I'd choose my personal favorites. I mean, it's just Terminator 1, except cranked up to 11 on action, and whew, it's fantastic.
Press the button again. I disagree with that take harder than anything.
You don't think it goes up to 11?
Well, that it's just Terminator 1, but turned up. Yeah, well, no, strong disagree.
I'm saying you take, like, the base of Terminator 1.
Yeah, I know, and I'm telling you, I think you're either misremembering Terminator 1 or misremembering Terminator 2. I think they're entirely different genres of movie.
It's like survival versus action. Again, I'm saying, never mind. Whatever. It has been a long time since I've watched either of them, but I watched Terminator 1 a lot much further back.
Yeah, it's it's ironic because it's basically an identical comparison to Alien and Aliens.
Same with James Cameron, you know.
And then, in both cases, James Cameron was like, oh, you know, slow, dread-based horror movie that builds over time. It's an action movie now, and it's one of the greatest movies of all time.
See, maybe it's because, and this is talking more about Terminator 1, I didn't, while it's like, yeah, this unkillable force is attacking you, it still wasn't like horror, like, as Alien. I don't know, maybe just, I knew Arnold Schwarzenegger didn't scare me the same, so maybe that's why it's my brain's like, you know, yeah, there are horror elements, but it's like still kind of, there's still some action scenes, which
it's any horror. Yeah, there's definitely some more action to it, but it is like on rewatch, because I rewatched it recently when I heard somebody you know, proposed this theory. And I was like, no way. And I rewatched it and I was like, there is a lot more just creeping, building dread of this like unstoppable machine coming at you, where it like, it isn't horror in like the gore sense. But like, I'll tell you what, I'm still more scared of Arnold's Terminator than the T-1000. And the T-1000 is objectively the better killing machine.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Crazy, like, if you watch the history of special effects, like, that liquid was, like, mind-blowing at the time when you, like, go through the bars and everything. And, like, it took a lot of... it was very innovative for its time, so that always
honestly
a plus for me.
I watched this movie a couple years ago. It still looked pretty decent. Like, there were very few... I don't know that there were any moments where I was like, oh, that looks terrible.
And who just doesn't love Arnold Schwarzenegger riding on a motorcycle with a sawed-off shotgun?
Just, it's the best.
That's what I want to be in life when I grow up.
Right? Sarah Connor's got way more of a story than I, like, remembered, too, in that movie. I, like, because I rewatched it recently, but before that, it was, like, 6th or 7th grade, and I was like, whoa, Sarah's got, like, I mean, it makes sense that she's all messed up in the head after the first movie, but, like, they really did a great job addressing that, and, like, her character was fantastic.
Yeah. And fantastic memes have come from this. Mike, do you have anything else you want to add? Did you have it as your number one?
I did. Fave? I did have it as my number one, but I'll just shuffle for the sake of consistency here.
But anything else you want to add, or just kind of what we talked about?
No, I mean, the quote, "There is no future, but the one we make ourselves," is something I had carved into my cork board when I had my own writing setup, how I liked it before I moved. Big fan of that. The interplay of John Connor and the Terminator as like the father figure, and watching Sarah, you know, struggle with that was all really good. Yeah, just a really, really great film in terms of like human storytelling, even though half the cast is robots. And then also just a fun story about that. I was watching it and Joe came out and she was like, "Oh, it's scary." It was the scene where Arnold has like the minigun and he's just mowing through the entire building. And I was like, "No, it's okay. Look, he's a good guy." And she was like, I watched this like switch flip in my, like, she was like 3 years old and I watched her go from like, "Oh, this is scary," to like, "That looks kind of fun."
Since then, she's been training. Joined the army.
She's like in her sleep, shaking her arms. Like she's...
Gatling gun, let's go.
It's fun.
What do you think, Lou?
It's cool. Yeah. Guns.
Guns, yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, it's not much. I got not much to say about it. I do like the idea... The T-1000, right? That's
The liquid metal Terminator.
The new guy? Yeah. There was like a... I can't remember where I heard it, but he was running so fast that he was outrunning the bike that they were riding in, because he was trained himself to like learn how to sprint without looking like he's breathing.
Whoa.
Yeah. Absolutely. Like, he was just training how to sprint. If you see the movie, it's insane.
I was already toying with rewatching it, so I'll definitely have to watch for that now.
And one thing,
so yeah, it was pretty cool.
Yeah, one thing I'd be interested to, like, back then, because I never watched any commercials for it. I wonder if it was like well known that Arnold was going to be a good guy for this one, or if it was like kind of subverting the expectations in the theaters. People like, whoa.
I feel like it had to be a subversion, because when you rewatch it, it's like. The whole thing is set up so it looks like Arnold's coming for him at first.
Yeah, I'll have to watch some commercials. Mm. That is my number three, and Mike's now number three. What do you got for us, Lou, for your number three?
So I figured out that I am not a big sequel person. No? I either like the first one or the third one more, if that is an option. I literally scrolled through easily 1,000 movies to figure out which sequels that I like. And this was a very hard pick for me. So two of these are nostalgic, and one of them is just a recent movie that I just kind of enjoyed. I'll go for my recent movie I kind of enjoyed. I liked The Sleep Doctor. I think we talked about it on the pod a little bit.
Doctor Sleep or Sleep
Doctor? Okay, thank you.
Okay, I don't know this either of the movies. I haven't
seen Doctor Sleep. Yeah,
Doctor Sleep's there good. Go. I
like
that.
I like Doctor Sleep. I said the Sleep Doctor.
You did. Yes, I was like,
yeah. I've been having a hard time with my sleep. I got amnesia. That's not even a thing. Insomnia? That is a thing. Insomnia.
I mean, you might have amnesia.
Where you can't remember words.
I've been forgetting that I've been sleeping. I mean, that's why you guys bring me here, right? I hit you with the wham bam.
Wham bam, thank you, man.
That's why I get paid the big bucks. Yeah, I actually, in the past year, I've started reading Stephen King books. I've been reading all the newer stuff, which I don't know. I think I'm doing it just to be a funny guy.
Just to be spiteful.
I really like just New to King.
Be spiteful. Yeah, just to be like, yeah, I mean,
there's
like
some,
the
there's some
stuff.
Good New King.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
his books, The Outsider.
I can't remember which ones I read, to be honest with you. I should have done more research. But yes, watched the Shining, I don't know, in high school, and was like, whoa, those are some weird boobs. And that's kind of what I got taken away out of it. And was like, it's a good movie for what it was, I think. And then 2019 comes around, and I'm like, sure, I'll watch The Sleep Doctor. And yeah, just banger. I love Obi-Wan Kenobi, just is really just doing his thing.
Hello there.
That's Obi-Wan, right? Or no?
Mm-hmm. It is.
Ewan McGregor?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I can't say much more about it. It's just a really witten... It's a well-witten movie. And that's what I got to say about that.
Did Stephen King... Because this takes place in like the world of The Shining, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Did Stephen King like this movie? I know he hated the movie The Shining.
I don't know.
Which makes sense. Because I've heard what the actual book is about. And it's nothing like it.
Yeah, I didn't feel like Dr. Sleep was nothing like...
I was talking about the Shining.
Oh, The Shining, yeah. They made some pretty big changes, as I understand it. Dr. Sleep was, like, fairly close to the book while, like, trimming out... It was weird, I think I've talked about this, but it trimmed out everything I liked from the book. Only kept the parts that I thought the book did poorly, and... did them all better than I thought the book did. So I was like, yeah, I actually kind of liked it. So, because the movie just didn't feel like it had any stakes. Like, I was never that worried about it. I was just like, yeah, no, they're going to lose here, but then they're going to be able to turn right back around and fix it. And there was just like, yeah, there was nothing. I was never concerned while reading Dr. Sleep. But the movie made you feel the stakes way better.
Mm-hmm.
Wagyu, baby.
You said they came out in 2019?
Yep. Cool.
All right. My number two was an Oscar snub. It was not even nominated, but a lot of people... It ended up changing the rules to expand the nominations. Just a little tidbit for the history, Oscar history buffs out there. Came out in 2008. It is Christopher Nolan's The Dark Knight.
I suspected this would be on this list.
Mm-hmm. Hitting with the classics.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's classic. I guess I still feel like, you know, it's 2016, so it didn't come out that long ago. But no, it's almost 17 years old now, so yeah. Put that in perspective.
Wait, did you say 2016? That can't be right.
Yeah. No, I said I feel like it's 2016.
Oh, okay, got it.
You feel like you're in 2016 right now.
But it was a joke. You're thinking about it too much.
Tell me your feelings, Robert. I'm sorry. Continue.
I'm not going to open up the feelings of my...
No, you don't have to do that. No. Keep your pants on. Just tell me your feelings. Just unbuttoning. Sorry.
No, that's your thing. Sorry. That's I'm not going to take your gimmick, you know?
There we go.
This movie, it's freaking... It blew up in when it came out. And I remember seeing it. I think it was after CIT... I went and saw it in Three Rivers, and there's a bunch of other senior staffers, and man, I was just like blown away. Heath Ledger's Joker is iconic.
Oh, incredible.
And honestly, probably his tragic passing just added to the performance, because people were like, oh man, this is like his last movie and all that, and there's some crazy urban legends surrounding it, but this fantastic, beautifully shot. Has one of the, I love the scene. I think everyone loves it when like the building's burning down and has Batman just standing there. Great scene. The opening scene is fantastic, where it's just like the slow build of the music and everything. And man, such a great movie. Probably my favorite superhero movie. And it's weird. I've been seeing that there's a growing group of people that are like, yeah, the movie's not that great. And I'd be interested to. I haven't investigated why, but I've seen a few things online. I'm intrigued to see what they have to say.
Yeah, it's just when anything gets so popular.
Yeah, it's been considered great for so long that it's due for its hater phase.
Yeah, and they're like, we like the Batman better than the Dark Knight. I'm like, ooh, that's a.
The Batman was. I don't think I ever will, and since seeing it, I have not yet been like, I need to see that again.
Yeah, I was happy seeing it once, but it wasn't.
And I was like, I'm good. I don't need to sit through this again. I could, like, read an entire novel in the time it took to watch that movie. Like, it was so freaking long. That was a one-timer. Yeah. Robert Pattinson's been putting out some stinkers. Thank you, Mickey17.
What do you think, Lou? Did you see The Dark Knight in theaters?
I did not see The Dark Knight in theaters. No. Yeah, another banger. You know, a lot of classic. Heath Ledger did a great job. Yeah, I mean, I can't say anything new that hasn't been said by millions of people, I think, you know?
And Two-Face? Well, doesn't make sense how Two-Face became Two-Face, like how he's still alive. It's still a great performance and everything.
For sure.
And I believe
Two-Face being alive really doesn't make sense in any, like, it's like yeah.
That's fair. The character itself
Like
is.
The Philippines or something like that, but.
What?
Sorry.
Don't want to bring up the Philippines with Mike around. Mike, what's your number two?
His last name's Rice. I didn't even picture that. What's going on here? His name's Rice. Did we not see that coming?
Okay.
I'll have what Lou's having.
Coffee.
I could go for another. My number two is... It's a weird one to call a sequel because I don't feel like the main character of this movie was really the main character of his debut movie. And I feel like he was advertised as the main character of his debut movie. And then we got bait and switched. I don't remember if Rob will watch this one or the first one, but he won't watch one of them because he doesn't like the director. And the main, like... character of intrigue who isn't the main character just remind every single person who saw this movie was like, wow, it's Hot Kyle. I am of course talking about Glass Onion, which is possibly the only whodunit movie where you can rewatch it and be like, oh, look at that, there he is, done in it on camera the first time, and we all just missed it. I think it's the most I've enjoyed a whodunit ever, and it's one of the incredibly rare movies in that genre that is actually fun to rewatch and experience a second time, and you can get something out of it.
Does Rian Johnson not do the second one, or is he just the first one?
Why do I feel like he only did one of them? I'll have to look into that. I don't know. I remember feeling like you were like, I won't watch this one, but I will watch the other one. And no, maybe I'm just totally making that up.
No, it was just when it came out, I was, you know, we were beefing. Now, I mean, he's done like the best and worst episode of Breaking Bad, but it's, or one of the best, but just at the time, it was a soft spot. But we don't talk about that time. Have you seen
it? You guys seen it?
I've seen it. I wasn't smart enough to understand it, to be honest with you. I'd have to watch it again.
Okay.
But I secretly love Dave Bautista as an actor. I think he's the best wrestling turn actor, I think, of all time.
I think that's fair. I think that's honestly, I think that's really
fair. I don't know, Andre the Giant and Princess Bride. Pool,
but
I mean, yes, and we're talking about the beautiful, delicious man of whatever his name was.
Andre the Giant? Was he in more than just that, though?
Hey, that's all he needs, right? A banger's a banger no matter what. That French.
I mean, no, for sure, but like, I don't know, depth is a valid considering factor in
I mean, he went out on top. He's like, I don't need anything else.
That's fair.
Did he drink himself to death?
No, he grew himself to death.
Damn.
Yeah.
Hey,
there's a documentary.
A lot of jokes that I could do.
There's a pretty, I guess, sad documentary about him because, you know, especially like his body just kept on growing and it was very painful.
Yeah, your heart can only take, tragic story. Pump so much, it just gives out.
I mean, we've all been in eighth grade before, am I right?
You know I'm a degenerate.
I like how you do sound effects. You know I'm a degenerate. You're just making your own sound effects because you can't do. Hey, I'm having a fun time.
There we go.
I mean,
better than John Cena. Better than The Rock. He also was in other movies, Andre the Giant, but.
Oh, did not know that. I'll have to.
He was in Zorro.
I'll have to examine this.
Oh, the TV series, I was going to say. I don't remember him in Zorro.
But yeah, that's my number two. Rob, you haven't seen it, correct?
I have not seen either of them.
Wow. You don't need, and that's the nice thing, you don't need to have seen Knives Out to appreciate Glass Onion. It can stand alone. It's really just like, this guy's here.
Was James Bond not really the main character in the first one?
No, he was the main detective, but one of the, like...
Girls.
One of the people in the household was, like, the main character, and he just kind of, like, was a heavy side character. Yeah, it'd be like if you were watching a Sherlock Holmes, but the Sherlock Holmes movie was from the perspective of one of the people involved in the, like, who was being investigated.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, obviously Sherlock Holmes is going to show up a lot because they're like, we got Sherlock Holmes, we got to use him. But, like,
he's
not the main character. Yeah. So, it was weird. It was weird. It was good. It was, if you can get past really, really in-your-face political commentary, which is something I struggle with, whether I agree with the political commentary or not. I'm just like, ugh, on the nose. I don't like it.
He did that in another movie. Lou, what's your number two?
My number two is going to be... Both of these are going to be nostalgia. I'm going to go for Spider-Man 2 for my number two.
Ooh, there we go. That's nice. A good one. Some honorable mentions.
Yeah. So good. So fun. He just, like... I love the car scene. I love just Doc Ock. It's a classic for a reason. I love how they brought Doc Ock back into the newer ones. I didn't know how much I appreciated Tobey Maguire until two other Spider-Mans came about. And I'm like, oh, either I'm just extremely biased for the time, or there's something to it. I'm not 100% sure. I can't tell the difference. Mary Jane, classic. Yeah, just all around just a good... It's just like, yeah, just all around just a good movie. And it just... I feel like back in the day when video games were movie-based, I feel like they had more love to them versus just being like a buyout.
First Spider-Man, I might disagree case by with case,
one. Yeah.
But okay. Spider-Man 2 is a classic.
Yeah, and not to talk too much about the game because that's not what it is. But the first one, you didn't even get to go on the streets.
No,
it was all like rooftop, and that was cool for me for a Spider-Man.
You
could,
you basically flew via web swing. There was no like,
yeah, you didn't have to hook on to anything. You could be nothing there, and you're zooming.
Yeah, and then Spider-Man 2 comes about, and you're actually like feeling like Spider-Man, which is also another classic. Thing to say.
Yeah, up until the newest Spider-Man games, like that was the one everyone compared it to.
Yeah, just really, really fun. And then the third one, you get the suit, and then you could just like dive bomb off of the Empire State Building.
He didn't die, though. He didn't die, though, in the third one.
He didn't die. Nope, which was really cool. But
really, I was the opposite. I was like trying to wait till the last second and web-sling out.
Yeah. Classic, right? Yeah. Just good old classic stuff. Big fan.
The actor did a great job at Doc Ock.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know his name.
You know, Vindicated by Dashboard Confessional. It's another song that slaps.
Yeah, I have to rewatch. I haven't watched it in so long. Becca and I watched the first Tobey Maguire one, and I'm like, you know, I still enjoy it for nostalgia, but there's definitely a lot of cheese that I don't remember.
There's cheese in all three.
Yeah.
It's probably just
the cheese factor is high.
Yeah, I feel like it's probably part of the time, because, you know, superhero movies weren't taken seriously at all until, you know, The Dark Knight, but you don't know. Until Christopher Nolan really came about. Even then.
I think it's interesting, Lou, that Toby's your favorite, because I don't have a problem with it. He's not my favorite, but I like him. And I think all three of the actors have brought something unique to the role. So I definitely don't think there's a wrong answer for which one you like more, but it's fascinating that he's your go-to, because he does play the awkward Peter Parker so well.
Yeah. I will say, like, I can't remember what the second one, what's his name?
Andrew Garfield.
I like Andrew Garfield more in other things he did versus Spider-Man.
He was a better, he was a good Spider-Man. He wasn't a good Peter Parker, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's fair. And then the newest kid, I think he's just, he's a heartthrob. Everybody loves him. He can do no wrong.
I think the Uncharted movie.
Well, that made a lot of money, but yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I respect it.
Who is your favorite, Mike?
Oh, it's Andrew Garfield by a mile.
I guess it's for
you. Yeah. It makes sense for me for sure. How much time do we have? I have a theory on, because people are always like, he didn't do a good Peter Parker, and I actually really disagree.
All right, hit us with it. We got time.
Okay, so look, here's the thing. Peter Parker, there's a formula to it, right? He was invented in, like, what, the 50s, 60s? And so when you think of a nerd at that time, it looked inherently different than what the social structure of 2012 and had in place, right? Like, a nerd was a Poindexter. If you were into science, you were a nerd. You had big glasses. You wore sweater vests. Like, there's this super strong stereotype that Peter Parker was built into. And even when the Tobey Maguire movies came around, it's like, yeah, he was a nerd, but, like, it looked different, but it was still, like, it didn't have any kind of an edge to it. By the time I was in high school, like, I graduated 2012 when that movie came out, there was one kid who had a rolling backpack and wore a sweater vest, and how do I say this? Gosh, he had an EID, EIP, nobody who fell into neurotypical also fell into that category of, like, looking like your conventional nerd anymore. They were just people who were out of place and who had hobbies that didn't fit with what was mainstream. And so this shy, stuttering photographer who skateboards in 2012, when it was not cool anymore, I think that's exactly what the stereotype of that was a great picture of the formula that was laid out for Peter Parker, but with the variables switched in for, at the time, modern day. And so people are like, oh, he wasn't like a good Peter Parker. I'm like, no, he was exactly what Peter Parker would have been if he were in high school in the turn of the tens, or the aughts into the tens.
It's fair.
So, non-conventional, and you see it in the Tom Holland one too. Like, he wasn't a brilliant, beautiful, striking figure of a man the way Andrew Garfield is, but he isn't anywhere near as, like, dork is as they managed to make Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man, because it just doesn't really exist in the same way anymore.
But Tobey Maguire makes his own webs, so
that's true.
Your point's invalid. All right, number ones?
Number ones.
My number one, to no one's surprise ever, considered one of the best sequels of all time. That's not The Godfather. Came out in 1980. It is The Emperor Strikes Back. So Star Wars Episode 5. And I don't know if Lou had it on his list, because I know Star Wars is nostalgia for him, so... Do you agree, disagree, Lou? You
have I'm a Return of the Jedi.
Ooh, you like myself. Those Ewoks? No, yeah, you like the beginning. I get you.
Yeah, I'm just a fan.
The beginning.
Just a fan. I'm not here to, you
You're like
know,
Jabba's I'm, tongue. I am what I'm saying. Am, baby.
I am what I am. Don't trip me.
Yeah. I mean, this movie is iconic for the twists that, you know, Darth Vader, spoiler alert, is Luke's father.
Whoa!
I gave the spoiler alert, Mike, so...
You didn't give me time. My headphones weren't off yet.
It's like, I feel like it is the quintessential sequel that most people compare it to. Like, if it's a good sequel, if it's a great sequel or not, is, you know, does it have that type of building on the story while offering, you know, new twists and new environments and everything? And I could talk for hours about this, but I will just say... My favorite sequel of all time.
Emperor Strikes Back. I respect
That's
it.
That's I really like the way this is going to shake out and the way my list got reset now. This is going to be fun.
Mm-hmm. Also, Darth Vader's theme. Banger. The Imperial March.
Absolutely. Is that the Imperial March?
Yep. It was introduced in that movie, I believe, when he's marching down Hoth. The freaking stormtroopers with their ball and snow gear. My goodness.
Yeah, rehearsal dinner for my parents' wedding, when my mom started to walk down the aisle, somebody played the Imperial March. My grandfather was not amused.
She's like, that's a Trekkie.
Was the Emperor introduced in 5 or 6?
So he was technically introduced in 5, but it wasn't Ian... I don't remember. It wasn't the Emperor. It was like just the hologram of him.
Okay, but we were introduced to the idea that, like, oh, Darth Vader isn't even the big bad in 5, right? Mm-hmm. I think that's one of the most like, if there's any lesson you can learn for running a long D&D campaign, it's to use the Darth Vader approach. Mm-hmm. Like, have a big bad set up. Zuko is another great example. Like, to have a big bad who is just terrifying and, like, you are doing everything you can to get strong enough to fight this guy. And then when there's like the point where you can at least consider like trying to be in combat with him, it's like, oh, by the way, this guy is just the lieutenant. He's not even the general. I think that was one of the better pieces of storytelling we've ever had.
Mm-hmm. Also, some people might credit to it is the ones George Lucas had his hands the least on for its production. So there's that. But it was the least affected by his later, like, 1990s, 2000s edition mm-hmm. cuts. So there's that.
Interesting. So he had his hands on it the least, and he also made the fewest changes in the re-releases?
Mm-hmm. There's two. I mean, when it's a 9, you don't need to add much to get it to a 10. That's or 9.8, you know.
I respect it.
Yeah. I think one of the main things they did, especially, and they did this later, is which makes no sense for episode 6, but they put the Emperor's face on the hologram over the crappy makeup one they had for the original episode 5. One of the changes I'm okay with, but in episode 6 doesn't make sense to put Hayden Christian's face on, you know, Anakin, when Luke would be like, who's that guy?
Right. It's not like Obi-Wan turned into the younger version of himself ghost, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. That's just like a blatant lore, like, huh? Like, if they'd also done Ewan McGregor one,
mm-hmm.
fine, at least you're being consistent, but weird.
I remember I grew up as a kid with the VHSs before, like, the edits, and then they added that in later. I'm like, wait a second. Right. How did they do that? And then, like, because that was before, you know, I really understood what edits were. And I went back, I'm like, wait, this is not right.
Yeah, it's funny thinking about, like, now it's like we all just have the internet. We all know and why it is the way it is. But, like, back when we were kids, there was still mystery to things. You'd just be like, what is happening?
I can't get this truck to get Mew. Like, what the heck? Right. I can't bump it.
Classic.
What's your number one, Mike?
So my number one, which legitimately was a contender for number one, is Star Trek II: The Wrath of Khan.
I knew it would be somewhere.
The
remake, right?
That's Star Trek 12 Into Darkness. There's a difference. Sorry, I don't know why I said that. the original Wrath of Khan with William Shatner, and I can never remember his name, but the grandpa from Spy Kids. That's what he's most well known for sure. It's fascinating because the movie is, I think, one of the reasons it could be considered one of the greatest sequels of all time, if not the greatest sequel of all time, is the level of improvement from the first movie. The reason Empire Strikes Back is like a great sequel is because it takes something good and builds on it and expands it and like does more with it. Part of the reason Wrath of Khan is so impressive is because the first movie was totally just garbage, and this movie was brilliant. Like, it, the level of like quality gap is just obscene. But it plays with so many interesting themes. You have Kirk, he's been promoted. He's no longer on a spaceship anymore, and he's feeling useless in his old age. And you know what used to give him a sense of purpose and cowboying around the universe is missing, and he doesn't know what to do with it. And he eventually ends up back in space, it's the new version of the Enterprise, but it gets totally like wrecked. And in their first interaction with Khan, and then you have Khan, who has this like decades long revenge fantasy against Kirk, and so you just have these dueling philosophies of finding purpose and like when it feels like the thing that you've built your life around is gone, with your entire purpose is to destroy another person, and these two philosophies clashing in space is really fun. Also, an amazing.
An amazing different... what? Sorry, you cut out there.
Oh, so sorry. Amazing soundtrack. It was so good they actually used it in the Khan Into Darkness movie. They would take some of the main melody lines and they'd like mix them in as bass lines and stuff, and so you could like catch allusions to it. In oh man, so good. And so there's a little bit of like prerequisite knowledge you have to have. It is a sequel, so I mean, comes with the territory. But really, it's more important that you have seen the space seed and that you know the original Khan story. You don't even have to watch a full movie, just like a 30-minute episode.
So that's as I say. Should I start with Wrath of Khan?
If you're gonna watch the movies, you can outright skip one. I don't care what anyone tells you. It's not a good movie, and it's
better influenced than by
A Space Odyssey doesn't mean jack. It's just a bad movie. It is unenjoyable. It is long. It is boring. It is purely of its time, and just yeah. All you need to know from the first movie is that everybody in the entire crew got promotions, and that Kirk is no longer captain. He's an admiral. It is worth watching the space seed, but if you want the sum up, Kirk and the gang meet these genetically enhanced power humans that have been launched into space in cryosleep, and it turns out that they were launched into space because they were like trying to take over the planet they were on, and so they try to take over the Enterprise, and eventually they win the fight, and then they basically leave them marooned on a perfectly like reasonable M-class planet with all the things they need to survive. So it's like, here, you get this planet, but there's no way for you to get off, and you're trapped on the planet, but you'll be fine. So it's like, it's a relatively humane and fitting punishment. It's like, yeah, you guys are political prisoners who then try to take over our ship. We can't just keep you on board, but we're not going to just totally strand you or screw you over. And that's all you need to know. Everything from there, you can pick up.
Lou, have you seen any of the old Star Trek movies?
Oh, I'm sorry. I have not.
I've only seen four, so.
Okay, cool. I feel like I'm not contributing as much as I usually. I just,
We'll watch them with you, Lou. I think I could see you enjoying them, actually, Lou. There's a good mix of like fun action and contemplative storytelling. I think you'd enjoy them.
I am trying really hard not to hate any sort of media. So I'm trying really hard on Lord of the Rings. I'm trying really hard on just like things that generally people are so divisive on. Either they love it or hate it. I'm trying hard to find like joy in most
Lou,
things.
You and Christian come out during September, come visit us, and we'll do our Lord of the Rings marathon where we cook a bunch of meals and everything, and then you can kind of just hang out and absorb it through osmosis. And you can be like, hey, I've seen it at least. I've seen all of them. And then, you know, we usually have, like game, everything.
Osmosis is like a contact high.
Oh, okay. We're getting high?
No.
No, you're contact highing having seen the Lord of the Rings.
I'm sorry. Apparently my theme of enjoyment right now is just pretending like I don't know what's going on.
Intentional misunderstanding is one of my favorite jokes. So
good.
Yeah, or the process of gradual or unconscious assimilation of ideas, knowledge, etc. So that's the beginning, you know, just kind of on in the background. You can learn all of our fun facts that we repeat every single time.
Yeah. Yeah, I enjoy being around people who enjoy things. Yeah.
And you can have like 8 meals with us.
You know what? Deal.
You're reading about all the meals Bilbo's missing out in The Hobbit, so shout out to our book club if you guys are reading The Hobbit. We make all those Hobbit meals during the day.
Oh, that's cool.
And then I don't want to eat the next day because it's like so much food. Well, Lou, what is your number one sequel of all time?
All right, number one. Ooh, I don't know if that's true or not, to be honest with you.
That's the second movie in the series.
Yeah. Let's pretend like that is. I'm going to go for The Mummy Returns. It's probably a movie that a lot of people don't think about. Shout out to Brendan Fraser. It is a sequel to The Mummy. A movie that like was really like back in the day, which is cool. What's going on?
Sorry, you say Brendan Fraser, I think The Whale, and then I think Dory. That's just how my mind works.
Yeah, I can't watch The Whale. It looks too sad to me.
All right. The Mummy Returns.
Yeah, I think as a kid, 2001, I didn't really have any understanding of what good cinema was. And I just loved the set pieces. You know, in the first one, it was just really cramped. Everybody was just in the pyramid, underground. And in the second movie, they just really expand. I love the scene where the mummies or the little demon-looking things are attacking the bus. And the bus is, like, running through Britain. It's just, or London, or Britain, London? Sorry. And it's just really, really cool. I got not much to say then other than it's kind to the eyes.
Is that the one with The Rock in it?
Yes. And at the time,
is that kind I was to such the a eyes? Big Rock fan,
the CGI just didn't really bother me. And then they came out with the Rock movie, and I was like, oh, I am living in peak times right now.
Wow, two wrestler movies. Made it. I have not two seen wrestlers. Any of the mummies, so I don't got
three if you count Glass Onion.
Ooh. Three if you count Glass Onion, yeah.
Which we all should because it's on the list.
That's what I was referring to, was, you know,
the Glass Onion. Oh, right. Princess Bride was just mentioned. Never mind. Mm-hmm. Apologies.
Not a sequel. Princess Bride 2?
Mike's working on it.
Yeah.
I got the beefed up cast. when I'm ready for it.
Yeah, I mean, they're just good action movies. I mean, I think they're on par with Indiana Jones, per se. You know, I mean, unless you're, like, cultly devoted to it. It's just good old-fashioned action.
Mm-hmm. I feel like I saw a scene Mummy. As a kid, and it, like, messed me up. There's some weird scene.
The bug?
I don't even know if it was, like, a mummy movie, but it just kind of, like, had that Egyptian vibe to it. I don't remember exactly what it was. I was, like, 6. But something, I don't know, like their faces got all distorted. I don't even know. Could not even be the mummy. But messed me up as a kid. What were we saying, Mike? Sorry.
Oh, just I would sit down and watch The Mummy if there were other people sitting down to watch The Mummy. That's all.
How many mummy movies are there?
I think 3 or 4. 3 good ones, and then probably like spin-offs and dumb ones.
But yeah, didn't they try to relaunch it recently?
Yes, they did. Tom Cruise, and it bombed. It bombed pretty badly. I will say, I do like. I wanted to, if we had more time, wanted to talk about like themes of movies. I feel like movies like this are not being made anymore. And the director of this movie also directed Van Helsing and directed the newer one, Odd Thomas. You guys ever seen Odd Thomas before?
I have not.
Oh my gosh.
I haven't even heard of that one.
No, I think, Mike, you might like this movie.
Like Odd Thomas?
Odd, yep. Oddthomas.
Interesting.
Yep.
I legitimately was trying to decide if you were mispronouncing autonomous or not, and I didn't want to be a dick.
No, yeah, that would make
coffee's
sense.
Coffee's kicked in. He's on his A game now. What themes do you want to talk about for it?
Well, I mean, if you guys haven't seen Odd Thomas or Van Helsing, then it's hard to explain. But I don't know. The first thing that comes to mind is more fun. I feel like movies are now, especially when it comes to action movies, aren't as fun as they used to be back in the day. I can only, like...
There is definitely a lack of, like, lightheartedness in action movies now. They all have to be super serious and...
I thought the beginning of John Wick was pretty funny.
John Wick?
Yeah, it was a joke.
Alright, I'm not kidding you.
Sorry, I was laughing with my body and not a visual medium, but I was amused.
When he killed his dog, that was funny to you?
That was the joke, yes.
That was the joke.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Peak comedy.
That's why you listen to this podcast. Comedy. Yeah.
Yeah.
But not as fun. Yeah, even like Terminator 2, you know, they had like its lighthearted moments and its jokes and everything.
Yeah, I don't know.
Everything doesn't have to be doom and gloom all the time.
For real. Or, like, and I don't want to be the guy, but, like, Marvel seemed to really corner the market in action.
Mm-hmm.
But they were too much, like, humor, in my opinion.
In some points, I agree. Yeah. Like, Ant-Man, the newest Ant-Man was absolutely garbage. And I think it tried to do too much. Sorry, we're getting really off schedule. But
all right, rapid fire, no discussion, honorable mentions. I got Top Gun Maverick and then Deadpool 2.
I didn't even think about this. Scooby-Doo 2, live action.
Good one.
American Pie 2.
There it is. Not check it off your Psycho bingo cards. 2.
Oh my gosh, Psycho 2.
Oh, shout out to the very first episode. Was that the first episode we talked about Psycho 2?
Yeah. We need to start, especially if we run out of ideas, we need to just start re-recording old episodes to make them not sound terrible. Script. Not even make a script, just be like, these were our picks, redo the episode.
Top podcast, yes, to the top podcast. Lou, you got any honorable mentions?
Shrek 2, pretty nice. Good.
All right.
Bill and...
Bill and Ted's?
Ted, Bogus Adventure. Classic. Whoa.
Bogus Journey? That's a take, dude. That's one where they play chess with death, right?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Sorry. And then 28 Weeks Later. Pretty good.
Isn't there a new one coming out? 28 Years?
Right? They used to be, but then I think it fell off.
Oh, dude, I saw a trailer for it. It looked really good.
Yeah, I don't know why I fell through. Marvel just doesn't want to make good movies anymore. Don't be hating.
Dude, if it's not Spider-Man, I'm not watching it. That's my Marvel take, so.
I don't think I like Marvel anymore. Am I getting old?
No, they just come over to the started dark side. Shoveling poop.
This isn't good.
It's not. How do your knees feel?
Well, Mike, what are we talking about next week?
That's a question that I don't have an answer to. Stay tuned and find out.
All right. Well, thank you all for listening to this week's episode of the Top Podcast. If you guys are interested in reading The Hobbit, there's still plenty of time in the month. Join our Discord. We're having a discussion going on there. If you're watching on YouTube, give us a like, comment, subscribe. Let us know what your favorite sequel movie of all time. I'll let you guys choose the third or fourth movie. I'll be nice to you guys. If you're listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, check the comments down below. We got some people talking there, and we'd love to hear your opinions there as well. Other than that, thank you all for watching. We'll catch you next time. Peace.
We'll do One Album Wonders. That was what I was going to pick last time and then switched. So,
Our personal One Album Wonders, right?
Your personal One Album Wonders, yeah.
Sounds good.
Sweet.
Okay.
Oh, no, he got his three slurps in. I thought he forgot.